everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks is engineering our show today. Tom is on the other side of the glass, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, February the 13th, 2015. Tom, you're not superstitious. It's Friday the 13th. I mean,
no, yeah. There's no reason to be.
Of course not. Of course not. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a great weekend. We're live weekdays for you here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We make this really easy for you. You don't have to be even in front of a radio. If you're by a computer, you can stream and podcast the show anywhere in the world on my website, buckmastershow.com. And of course, kvoi.com also has the live stream. And on Friday especially, we do a shout out to our media partners. These are special media people who support our work here. One of them is TucsonSentinel.com, another inside Tucson business, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And our newest partner is TucsonLifestyle.com. The Friday Focus interview this afternoon is with the Ward 6 City of Tucson Councilman Democrat Steve Kasachek. Steve will be on our live line, and joining me in studio to question the councilman is Dylan Smith. Dylan is the founder, editor, and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. We do welcome you to call us on the live line. The number is 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. Just go to our Facebook page, and you can find us under Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now Councilman Steve Kasachek. Councilman, how are you today?
Well, I'm glad we don't have 6 feet of snow. I was listening to the weather report. My God, ours is, we're going to have 75 degrees, and they got 6 feet with another foot coming.
Wow. And
unbelievable.
Dylan knows about snow because he comes, as I do, from the Midwest. Dylan grew up in Wisconsin.
Indeed, I did. And Councilman, you had some childhood experience with weather as well, didn't you?
Grew up in Michigan.
Yeah, you well know the joys of the upper Midwest.
Absolutely. But I was so young, for me, snow was something to play in, not to have to drive to get to work in. So, you know, it was a good time. You know, my mom decided 1 year that it was either Florida or Arizona. Flip a coin. Arizona won. We were on a train the next day, and here we are.
Yeah. Okay, let's get right at it. Of course, it's very serendipitous having you on today because of the situation at the so-called downtown homeless camp. And this homeless population downtown really has grown in recent months after U.S. District Judge David Burry ruled in December that activists' free speech rights allowed their continued presence around the park with some limitations. But, Councilman, this has grown in many other directions, hasn't it?
Right. Not to be confused with the working poor, veterans, seniors, people who would, in fact, accept help from the many social service nonprofits that we have, Primavera, La Frontera, Youth on Their Own, Our Family, and you name them. The city of Tucson allocates over about $1.5 million annually out of our general fund to things such as rent assistance, substance abuse treatment, utility assistance, and all that through the nonprofits. So the city is not sitting on the sidelines, but you correctly referenced the Burry decision, Judge Burry. Originally, we were managing the situation by allowing bedrolls, backpacks, and a beverage, and the city has an ordinance that allows you to sit on the sidewalk as long as you're not blocking the right-of-way. Burry took a speech position, said this is protected activity. Unfortunately, it's that decision has been, in my opinion, made a mockery of. John McClain is one of the organizers down there. There are actually three factions downtown right now, though. McClain has one of the groups. Another guy named Anthony Potter is across the street by the county courthouse building. And then the third group is kind of what I guess I would affectionately call the Gem Show Carnies. It's the group that kind of travels around with the gem shows, with shows that work on a cash and barter trade system, and they're the ones who kind of do the work for that group as they're traveling around. So we have different factions. this really has gotten to the point now where the with rights come responsibilities, and these groups have a responsibility to the citizenry in general and to the business community to clean up after themselves, to make sure that they're not engaging in aggressive panhandling. We know that there's drug use going on down there because of some of the debris that's being cleaned up out of the planters and tree wells. So, I called the mayor, city manager, chief of police, and city attorney together a couple evenings ago, and we just talked about. Look, I told our chief of police, you need a greater police presence down there. You know, the people walking by there deserve it. The businesses deserve it, and we are also going to expedite a rehearing with Judge Beery. We made clear to the city attorney that we're not waiting until the end of March. This thing is morphing into something that even the judge likely did not envision happening, and he needs to revisit his own decision and take a position that speech is one thing. I mean, for instance, we have protesters out on Speedway across from the Military Recruitment Center over on around Tucson Boulevard. They stand up for a couple hours with their signs and they're gone. We have anti-abortion protesters down across from TMC for a few hours a day every now and then. They're gone. But this is not speech. This is living. And there's a difference, a fundamental difference, and the judge needs to get his arms around the collateral damage that his own decision has really generated.
Especially back in the 1980s with anti-nuclear protesters, there were several cases in which demonstrators did make a permanent presence in places, and that was condoned by the courts as being a demonstration. A demonstration does not have to be a limited time; it can be ongoing. But is your concern more with the sort of ancillary activities with people making a mess rather than their presence itself?
Yeah, yes, generally. So what's going on is that when Judge Beery made his ruling, the situation was we had people with bedrolls and backpacks and they were sleeping downtown. And let's lay out right up front, there will always be a cohort of the homeless that simply don't want services, they don't want to live in a shelter, and I'm not interested in squeezing the balloon and simply moving this group of people to another location and pretending it doesn't exist and that they don't have needs. We are an absolutely compassionate city, and I opened this by mentioning a lot of the, leveraging millions of dollars for assistance to the legitimate homeless. My concern, when these people are legitimate homeless, but my concern is that they are not, by and large, a group that we're talking about that would access the services if made available. It's a statement that's being made. And so, yes, to your question, my concern is how this thing has grown from the standpoint of simply making a statement to one another is simply living down there. And so I also, at the meeting that I referenced a couple of minutes ago, I said, let's find an alternate site. If we can change the ordinance to say you can't sleep on a sidewalk. So we can do that, but we're not the state legislature. We don't believe that we're superior to the federal government. And so we know that we have to follow Judge Beery's order. And so to the extent that we can find an alternate location that's proximal to the services that they're close to now, so we're not just creating some sort of out in the North 40, homeless camp that nobody will ever know exists, I offered a couple of suggestions, and we're looking for city property right now that would serve in that function. So the problem is that the businesses down there have rights, too. The people who are standing by the streetcar stops and the bus stops have rights, too. And some of those rights are not to be aggressively panhandled. There is an ordinance for that. We have the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Clean Crew has been yelled at and accosted, and they now have asked for a police presence to even go in and clean, and so the whole thing has grown beyond what was in front of the judge the first time, and he needs to revisit it.
What is TPD doing this week that might be any different? I've seen more sheriff's deputies hanging out there by the county building in the last few days.
So the meeting that I had a couple of nights ago, the chief was there, and I said you need to generate a larger police presence. And his answer was that, you know, well, this may be an inconvenience, but it's not a safety issue. And I said that I beg to differ with you. It is a safety issue for the people who are being accosted for the drugs. In fact, the fact of the matter is that I mentioned there are three factions. Two of them, one of them over by Venta de Agosto Park is the McLean Group, and the other one, the Potter Group, is over by the court building. It's interesting that they're like the Hatfields and the McCoys now, and so they've had altercations between the groups, and so there is a safety issue going on down there. And so the police, so we walked away from our meeting with the Senor agreeing that he was going to generate a greater police presence. It's not to go and roust people out. It's to make sure that criminal behavior is not occurring, and we are going to expedite the rehearing in front of Beery. That filing will be made either today or on Tuesday, Monday being a holiday, and we're going to get back in front of the judge and say, look, revisit your own decision because this is not what it was when you issued it to begin with. So short answer to your question, Dylan, is, yeah, we're going to have more cops down there. It was interesting to me that I did speak to Patrick McNamara from the Star after the meeting, and I said, yeah, we're going to have a greater police presence. And so the chief called me and said, why did you tell that to the Star? And I said, because it's true. And he said, well, you put my officers at risk. And I said, that's a very interesting conundrum, right, chief? So you're not concerned about the safety of the public, but you are about the safety of your own cops? So he kind of walked into the point that, yeah, there's a safety issue going on down there, and we need some more cops looking over it.
All right, we're going to talk more about this with Councilman Kasachek and the whole perception that the many people in the city of Tucson have that it's that the council needs to just tell the police, go in there and clean them up. And Councilman, you will address that after we take our break here, our first break on the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0405 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit CoxBusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit CoxBusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
All right, Tom, very good choice of music. Today we're spotlighting the Association, music of the 60s on this Friday. That's a little bit before Steve, maybe not Steve Kasachek's time. I think Steve remembers some of the 60s, don't you, Steve?
Absolutely, grew up in that era.
Yeah.
I remember the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I remember all that.
Okay, good.
Darn right, yeah.
Good. Lots of folks want to talk to you. Got a couple of people on hold. If you could quickly address my question that so many people have, uh-huh, of this perception, why the consul can't just tell the police chief to go in and clean the camp up,
yeah,
the homeless camp.
Yeah, and save me 30 seconds at the end of the show to, okay, talk about the Center for Border and Global Journalism. Because of the court order, because the court has identified that this is protected speech, that's why we're going back to court. And to have him revisit that decision. And you know, my concern is that this behavior, which is not working to find solutions to the general question of homelessness, is just generating animosity to the homeless people in general. And that, as I mentioned at the start of the show, these are the working poor. They are single moms. They are seniors. They are veterans. They are people who legitimately are looking for services that are offered in this community. And this is not that group. And so the argument that this was speech has got our police handcuffed, pardon the metaphor, but they can't go in and just roust these people out. And quite frankly, we could change the ordinance, but you don't do that in the face of a federal court ruling without providing legitimate alternatives. And that's why I said I've already proposed, and I've got the city now looking for alternative sites, so that if we do change the ordinance, we have a legitimate alternative to put before the court if they don't come up with a different kind of a ruling the second time through.
Isn't the whole point of free speech rights to protect the sort of speech that we don't approve of? If all the, you know, speech were shiny and happy and we all agreed with it and nodded along, we wouldn't need to have protections for free speech. But it's the people who bother us with the things that they're saying and the way that they're saying it who end up being protected by those laws.
Yeah, and so nobody has, you know, to the content, absolutely. And that's why we were managing this back before the first decision. And so what Judge Beery did was basically gave them air rights. You can bring as much junk down there as you want. You can effectively live down there. It's no longer about protecting legitimate speech. They're living. And I'll give you one of the example of the hypocrisy of this. As I mentioned, that there are factions going on, and so you'll note that the area around Venta de Agosto has one cohort of people. They won't allow the group that's over by the courthouse building to come over. And when I said there have been altercations, that's what I meant. And so they're even within their own group, the question of speech is truncated. So let's not talk about this in terms of speech. Let's talk about we can protect speech in a legitimate way, time, place, and manner restrictions, and the courts have also recognized those as legitimate. Back when Occupy first took over, made an encampment at Armory Park, we took the position that there are time, place, and manner restrictions for the safety of the health, and the court upholds those too. So
okay,
it's all balanced.
All right, I've got a full board of folks who want to talk to you, and I've got 5 minutes. So that means, Councilman, I ask that you keep your short answers, please. Yes, Doug Martin is up first. Mr. Martin is the owner operator of Good News Communications, of which KVOI is a part of the portfolio. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Doug.
Thanks, Councilman, for being on. I know Judge Burry as a friend, and I know he's a strict constitutionalist and isn't going to go by his own personal feelings or agenda. So how are you all going to position this? Because I think Dylan made an excellent point. I don't think there's any limits on time on free speech. So how are you going to deal with the free speech issue that is going to be before the judge?
I haven't read the city attorney's brief, but this, as I said a minute ago, we were managing this with a policy that said, that's fine, well, you can stay there if you want. We have an issue with respect to how this has grown. Time, place, and manner restrictions. The manner was a backpack, a bedroll, and a beverage. Now it's couches and sofas and tents and all manner of other kinds of things. And so it's really the nature of what we're seeing down there is no longer simply making an expression about homelessness. If it were that, the people who are organizing this would be willing to get together and work for solutions. In fact, they are not. Some of the most prominent people in this community, Peggy Hutchison and people working for Primavera, are getting blasted by these guys on Facebook. So this is not about finding solutions. It's not about speech. It's these guys self-aggrandizing, and the concern is the safety of the safety and health of the public. The activities that are going on down there are not conducive to a speech argument. They're just simply living down there.
Next up is Dan on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, very, very quickly. My wife and a couple of friends went downtown to have lunch the other day, and they said it that the smell was so bad that these people are defecating on the streets and in the parks. And isn't that a health issue that our wonderful city council can do something about?
That's exactly the point I'm making, Dan. This has morphed into something other than speech. It is absolutely a health issue right now. In fact, the county health department, let me rewind this tape a couple of years. The county has done their level best to keep an arm's length away from even having to deal with this. 2 years ago, when Occupy Tucson was down in Armory Park, they were actually down dispensing food, cooking and dispensing food in the park. Now, I called the county health people and said, you guys, the county, are the ones who oversee the health codes. Go down there, just make sure that what they're doing meets county health standards. And they went down and said, yep, looks good to us. I will guarantee you, Dan, that if any restaurant in the city of Tucson was operating under the same kinds of conditions, they'd go in and cite them and shut them down. So the county oversees the health stuff. They have been keeping an arm's length relationship on this issue, saying it's the city's thing to deal with. I'm glad that Huckleberry has now finally recognized that, oh my gosh, they're on our doorstep now, and so now maybe we ought to get engaged.
Next up is Fernando. Go ahead, Fernando. You're with Councilman Steve Kasachek.
Hi, Councilman. Thank you for appearing. You know, one of the things you mentioned earlier is just finding another place for possibly putting these people. The reality is there's hundreds and hundreds of programs in Tucson that deal with homeless men, women, families. Why not just refer them to those programs? If they refuse to go, then that's their problem. Yeah, I know it sounds very simplistic, mm-hmm. but I've worked in that social service for years and years.
Okay.
And so, thank you.
Thank you, Fernando.
Fair enough. Legitimate question. Two or maybe three parts to it. Number one is that many of the it wasn't until yesterday that that the people at the county said, "Oh, we've got space in some of our shelters." You talk to the city-run shelter, not the city-run, but the many of the shelters, you know, La Frontera, Primavera, some of the others that I mentioned earlier. They're saying we're stuffed to the gills. We don't have bed capacity. That's one point. Number two, though, and maybe more importantly, is that if you go and talk to a lot of the people who are down there right now, they don't want to be in shelters. They say we want a no rules environment. We don't want someone telling us we can't drink. We don't want someone telling us when to come and when to go. So the cohort that we're seeing down there are not generally people who would spend the night in a shelter. They feel their sickness and all, you know, safety and all that. That's why I'm looking for another outdoor site close to where they are now.
Okay. All right, and I did promise you 30 seconds. There was something that you would like to bring to the attention of our listeners. Go ahead.
And you guys might know about it already. Center for Border and Global Journalism is holding a panel discussion on February the 26th at 6 p.m. on campus. They're going to have the parents of James Foley, who was a journalist who was kidnapped and murdered by ISIS, and also Terry Anderson, who was an AP correspondent who was held hostage for, I think it was 7 years, in Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be on a panel. It's sponsored by the School of Journalism, and it'll be in the ILC building right in the middle of campus in room 120. It's free, open to the public, and I just think it's going to be a fascinating panel discussion.
It should be. And again, the date for that?
February 26th, 6 p.m.
Okay. Steve Kasachek, thank you for spending half of your lunch hour with us. We appreciate it.
Sure, appreciate it, guys.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek with us on The Buckmaster Show. The first half of our Friday show is devoted to our Friday Focus interview. The second half pretty much is our Friday Roundtable, and that is still to come as Dylan Smith sticks around for the second half, and I think we're going to be joined here in a few moments by Jim Ninsel from the Tucson Weekly on the live line. Till then, let's take the mid-break, Tom.
Changes in the way I used to describe all the feeling that I have fighting here for you inside.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. The Tucson Festival of Books is a celebrated event everyone looks forward to, and Arizona Party Rental is glad to be a part of it. Now here's someone with some exciting news.
This is Brenda Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. This year is a benefit for literacy concert featuring a unique group of well-known authors called the Rock Bottom Remainders. Band members include Scott Turow, Dave Berry, Sam Berry, Mitch Albin, Amy Tan, Ridley Pearson, Greg Isles, and Alan Swibel. The concert will be Friday, March 13th at 8 p.m. at the U of A Student Union Ballroom. Tickets are available at TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brenda.
Hi, this is Dave Barry with the Rock Bottom Remainders. We'll be in Tucson playing at the Tucson Festival of Books. How good a band are we?
Hey, Dave, let me take it from here. Don't miss author supergroup the Rock Bottom Remainders at this year's Tucson Festival of Books. For tickets, go to TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
We're that good.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of handwoven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Plus, Tucson Weekly Education blogger David Safir joins us. Buckmaster on each weekday during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's the place for anywhere in the world live streaming, our podcasts, and audio archive. All right, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering today's show, playing some of the music of the 60s, the Association, our bump music today. Let's join, we have Dylan Smith with us on our Friday roundtable, the editor, publisher, founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Jim Nintzel joining us on the live line. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Well, happy to be with you.
Jim Nintzel, of course, is the senior writer of the Tucson Weekly, and also want to point out that he was really the first time I've been able to mention this fairly recently. Your column, The Skinny, which has run for a long time in the Tucson Weekly, was named by the Alternative News Media Association as the best political column in the United States. Hey, congratulations, Jim.
Well, thank you very much. That was quite an honor.
And Jim also hosts now a TV show called Zone of Politics Sunday morning on Channel 9 at 9:30. Got that right, correct, Jim?
9:30. I think we'll actually be moving to 9 o'clock for a few weeks in March, but our normal time is 9:30. K-Gun's got to move us around a little bit, but we'll let you know all the details on that.
Okay, we got some breaking news on this, what is shaping up. The Arizona Republic today in their editorial said, "Brace yourself, Arizona. Diane Douglas, the superintendent of public instruction, has launched a full-blown constitutional crisis." The headline of Douglas's statement says, "All you need to know," quote, "Arizona Superintendent of Public Schools Diane Douglas did not see Doug Ducey Casey's name on the ballot for state superintendent. Well, Ms. Douglas had a news conference about an hour ago, and Dylan Smith, it looks like she's kind of given way a little bit over this this dust-up over her firing of two members of the State Board of Education.
Well, it seems like somebody told her, no, you can't do that. I don't know. The Republic calling this a constitutional crisis is a little bit overblown. It's not like this was something that stymied all of the operations of state government or anything like that. Diane Douglas tried to fire two of the employees of the State Board of Education, thinking that that was in her power to do so. Some folks who were proceeding to implement Arizona's version of Common Core standards, the testing for that. And she thought she could get rid of them, and was pointed out by a number of people, including the governor, that no, you can't. Those people don't actually work for you. Yeah, the state superintendent of public instruction sits on the State Board of Education, but is only one member of that. And she's not even the president of the State Board of Education, but she wanted to walk these folks out the door, had DPS actually escort somebody out of the building.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, but today she realized that for Democrats especially was a rather popcorn-worthy moment yesterday when she started really laying into the governor, really completely walked everything back and said, maybe we need to pass a law to, you know, fix this and point out who's really in charge of these two people.
Jim Nintzel, the Democrats that have been pushing this recall of Diane Douglas, they may want to just kind of sit back and watch all of this self-destruct.
Yeah, I don't know if that recall's really going anywhere. We'll see. I mean, if Diane Douglas continues to behave in this fashion, it certainly could pick up steam. I think a lot of people were concerned after she was elected to the post that we would have some real problems with our educational system, and this was certainly, as Dylan said, popcorn-worthy moment for Democrats watching the superintendent of public instruction go up against the governor. And this whole battle over who had the right to dismiss these people, and she said some pretty hostile things towards the governor in the last few days, I think it's safe to say. And I do think this gets into the whole issue of Common Core, which is very unpopular among Republicans, but has a lot of critics on the left as well in terms of how these national standards have been developed and how they're going to be implemented. And, you know, we just went through this extraordinarily long experiment with the Ames test that went from the mid-90s up until now, and now we're switching over to this new program. And I think there is a lot of skepticism about this whole testing regime that we're coming up with and the idea that you're going to have a test that are the same around the country. And you know, there's some logic to that in terms of what a mobile society we are, and you do want kids having a minimum number of things that they are aware of in a similar fashion, so if they move around the country you get similar instruction. But at the same time, I think more than anything this is a boon for the testing industry, and that certainly become a very powerful lobbying and quite an industry of its own over the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, well, you know, testing is something that's sort of tacked on to the end of Common Core, which is just a set of standards. Here's what kids are supposed to learn. You know, in the third grade, you learn about this sort of stuff. It doesn't lay out a curriculum that says how to teach it. It just says, here's what we need to learn. In seventh grade, you learn these sorts of things. But yeah, there was a big industry all throughout the educational system, whether it's testing or management companies for charter schools and things like that. Dispassionate observer, one of the things that really struck me was just how quickly this rift opened up between Douglas and Ducey over this. You know, he endorsed her in the race, and like all of the statewide Republican candidates, they ran together on a slate, and for just a few weeks into their terms to have this dust-up where Douglas is lambasting him for, giving money to what she's called corporate cronies was, it seemed very, very over the top. And
very unexpected.
Apparently today she's dialing that way, way back.
Yep.
And her comments about the reluctance of the governor and the legislature to provide the inflation adjustment for education funding, saying that, that not only is he giving money away to his corporate cronies, but he's taking it from schools.
Yeah.
I thought that was really fascinating.
Which isn't exactly something that was part of her platform when she was running.
Mr. Nintzel, I'm going to let you go here because I know you're out on another story. But before I do, in the remaining minute with you on the roundtable, a plug for your piece. A pretty good, thorough look at Grant Road. I, for one, try to avoid Grant now, if at all possible. I don't need more alignment work done and more tires.
No, not at all. And my story this week was about a family that has a little two-bedroom house on Grant Road that is in a section of Grant that's not going to be widened for another 6 or 7 years. And we know how that timeline can slide. And they're basically trying to get the city to purchase their house early because they have three kids now. When they purchased the house in 2003, we didn't have an RTA. We didn't have money to actually widen Grant. So it seemed like that project was pretty far off into the future, and now it's become a reality. They can't stay in the house because it's too small. They can't sell the house because no one's going to buy a house that is going to be demolished in a few years. So they're in a real jam, and the city has a couple of times suggested that they might be eligible for an early acquisition project, only to walk that offer back. And so they're very frustrated. Councilman Karen Ulick is frustrated. The city says it's just a bad investment for them. They don't want to buy the house and have to rent it out. So there's a bit of a problem for this family.
How much is that house worth?
You know, that's an excellent question, and
I'm sure there's a range of disagreement about that. But what's the seat of the pants guess?
I think they paid a little over $100,000 when they purchased it in 2003. In terms of what the market over there would bear, I would suspect it wouldn't be much more than that these days.
So how much are we going to pay lawyers to go back and forth on this?
That's an excellent question, and we've already been paying people to go in and inspect it and everything else. So you would think that, you know, maybe they could just buy it and raise it and get that part over with. But, yeah.
Of course, if you start doing that, you do end up with, is there a precedent set for having to do that for every other house along that stretch?
Right. And you have to also figure out, you know, what are the guidelines for early acquisition? And the council actually addressed this a couple of years ago because I'd written a story about this family when a van went crashing through their front wall and landed just a few feet from their daughter's bedroom. And at that time, the council actually made efforts to create a policy for early acquisition that would help this family. But at the end of the day, the Department of Real Estate looked it over and looked at those guidelines and said, this is a bad investment for us. We don't want to get involved with it. And we'll see where it goes from here. I know that Councilwoman Ulick wants to revisit that decision, but whether or not she can get her fellow council members to go along with it, and even then, once she does that, if the staff will go along with it, remains to be seen.
All right, Jim Nintzel, we're going to let you go. You go off and have yourself, I know you've got an assignment right now, and then have a great...
We're here outside of Gabby Gifford and Mark Kelly's house for an event, and we'll be writing that up on the Tucson Weekly blog shortly.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.
Dylan Smith, stick around. We've got a couple more minutes here with you on the Friday roundtable. Dylan, you wrote about, and this is a story that needs to get as much publicity, I think, as possible. There is an effort to put a real knife in the back of transparency here in Arizona. It's about Arizona's open meeting laws.
Well, there are a number of bills moving through the legislature, and some of them are moving along a bit more quickly than others. There's a bill that would make it so that public officials, elected officials, do not have to have public discussions whenever they discuss things. You know, right now, if a majority, if a quorum of a public body, whether that's the legislature or a school district or the city council, if they want to talk about something, they need to do it in public where people can listen in and know what they're talking about, understand the reasons that they're saying for the things that they're voting on. This would switch that up so that the only thing that would have to be public would be the vote itself, and they would never have to conduct all of that other business in public. There's another one that would make it possible to keep the names of officers who are involved in shooting incidents secret for 90 days. And, now we get to dig into these things before all that time has passed, and just, try and hold our government accountable. If a police officer shoots and kills someone, we get to check out that person's background and see, have they had X number of complaints previously and that kind of thing. That would really, put a serious crimp in our ability to understand how our police departments are operating. There's another bill that would let former judges keep their names and addresses out of the public record. One that would keep allow public candidates for office to keep their names and addresses out of the record. There are always controversies about whether somebody actually lives in the district that they're trying to run in. Right. This would make it so that you would not be able to know unless you actually followed that person around and see where they went to sleep every night.
Matthew, you've been waiting, and I've got 1 minute. Matthew, make your comment quickly, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Jim Nenthal facetiously solved the problem downtown. The city should just buy that house from that family and move everybody downtown into it. And it will disappear in 6 years anyway when it gets demolished.
well, I don't think you can really fit 100 people into that house.
I don't understand.
Go ahead.
When the Lord sends you answers like that, wrapped in a box, and they just, it's right there in front of you. But I'm being facetious. I just want to say that I think that Steve Kozacik's right, that the homeless downtown has nothing to do with the homeless or homeless services. But that's the problem. This is a very complicated issue because you have a group of people now who have, and it's part of society, who have become permanently, they like being, I don't want to use the word like, they have become accustomed to being homeless and free and living their lives that way. And it's just the way an entire, but it's not a small
it's a
population,
lifestyle.
It's growing. And yes. That's my thought. Thank you.
Like a lifestyle. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Dylan. And we'll look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great weekend. Coming up next, it is the Valentine's Weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
Got to say hello, it's a lucky day.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0405 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's seven lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
All right, Weekend Watch with award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist Matt Russell is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Looking for a great Valentine's weekend getaway? Head 3 hours east of Tucson, take a left at Lordsburg, and head up to Silver City. Historic downtown Silver City. So much to do. Galleries, antique stores, museums, great restaurants. Find out about the wonderful places to stay like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Bear Mountain Lodge by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Weekend Watch host Matt Russell joining us, and he's all decked out in red, I'm sure, as he gets ready to celebrate Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day 2015. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, just ready to call on my inner Cupid for a big Valentine's weekend, and now I've got my Cupid costume on, Bill. The staff here at Russell Public, they don't know if it's Valentine's Day or Friday the 13th.
But the culinary cruiser is in the house, and he has a pick for a nice romantic weekend, a way to kind of start the romantic weekend.
Yeah, our Valentine's weekend starts later today with happy hour at Contiki, of course, over there on Broadway near Swan. I think it's a great venue for lovebirds as it's dark and cozy, and so many of their Hawaiian-inspired drinks are designed to be shared, like their iconic Scorpion Bowl that features a selection of rums and gin, brandy, some fruit juices, and various liqueurs. And, of course, it's served with two extra-large straws, one for you and one for your honey. Happy hour starts today at 4, so take a dip in a scorpion bowl at the Contiki and let the romance commence.
It is a big weekend for dining out. Any suggestions?
Yeah, the love will surely flow into Saturday, the big day, and there are so many great venues for Valentine's dinner. Now, there are two that caught my eye. The first is Wildflower on Ina and Oracle because of the short rib ravioli with roasted mushrooms and a truffle cream. And if that doesn't ooze romance, I don't know what does. I also like Gringo Grill for tomorrow night for their raw oysters with a chorizo foam or bacon-wrapped tenderloin with a lobster hollandaise. Both of these restaurants have romance at the center of the plate, but don't forget to make reservations because they're both bound to book up, Bill.
And the Valentine's weekend, of course, continues into Sunday brunch time.
Yeah, capping off the weekend, I say head down to the Hotel Congress's Cup Cafe for Sunday brunch. Now, this is timely because Men's Journal just ranked it among the top 10 brunches in the country, and I always find their selections quite sensuous.
Case in point is their cast iron baked eggs with ham and leeks and Gruyere cheese, and it's all baked in cream. Bill, if ever there was a dish to make you spontaneously renew your vows, this is it. I just love it.
How about the Inside Tucson Business column this week, Matt Russell?
Yeah, there's a guy in town, Bill, who has launched a grassroots crusade to make you think a little bit differently about the pretzel. Now, there are many twists to the story, which you can read all about in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Happy V weekend to you, Matt. Have a great one.
To you and yours, Bill. Thanks.
Big shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Mike has a great operation, great mechanics, Midtown location, very convenient. One block south of Speedway on North Beverly. It's perfectionautoworks.com for Mike Emery and the team at Perfection. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, and, of course, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we thank you very much for your support. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Back with you Monday at 12:04.